Hey, what's up?
I thought he was going for a Fat Albert impression.
Oh, it's supposed to be hyped.
This is Josh with Byung and Ronnie.
We don't
Caster
fine,
Ronnie.
Fine. We don't introduce ourselves.
It's Pade. We need to get personal with this.
And this is the
with this podcast.
What's the name of this podcast again?
Among other things.
Oh yeah, among other things.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh. It's a casual discussion of Christian stuff.
Oh.
Or really more of a casual discussion of things through a Christian lens. Mm. We're not too serious, but we're not too silly.
But we keep it real.
Mm.
Hopefully.
And spicy. Like ramen and noodles.
Maybe we're not. All right, well, on the spicy. Byung, what is marriage?
What the heck?
Yeah, you said spicy. He brought it. And you engaged, too.
You're in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Who brought? Why am I in the hot seat, bro?
You engaged.
The heck? Y'all married.
Yeah, so we know the answer already.
Well, look.
I know. That's a cop-out. Marriage.
What is love?
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
Oh, gosh.
I think we already did that podcast.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you missed out on that one.
What?
Yeah.
What is love?
Did we do that one already?
More like, what is dating? And that was one of the questions related to it. What is love? Yeah, and we was on.
I mean, if we're going to talk about marriage, it's technically a sequel to the dating podcast.
Yes.
Marriage.
Now, I asked this question because I was just like thinking to myself, like, you know, even being married.
It's dangerous when he thinks to himself.
I don't really. Yeah, I got some bad thoughts here. Even getting married and being married, it's like people just do it because everyone does it without really considering what exactly it is. Why are you laughing?
You're making it sound like it's a bandwagon. Hey, yo, all the cool kids are getting married.
It is definitely a bandwagon. Now, it ain't as cool anymore. So a lot of the kids aren't doing it.
I think having kids, it's part of that too, though.
Kind of ruins it.
So what? I'm saying. What exactly is the marriage? And then it's a
scam.
Loaded question because they're Ronnie thinks it's a scam.
It's a scam.
Oh,
and I asked, well, who's
it's a
getting,
trap?
Who's getting scammed?
The guys, especially if you're in Maryland.
Yep,
it's all favors to the woman.
Yeah,
that's
or it could be scamming each other.
Nah, marital courts tend to side with the women.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, kind of like an archaic view that women are helpless and can't fend for themselves. Therefore, the guy has to give up a sizable chunk of his assets to support her livelihood.
Talk about double standards, bro.
I know. Talk about equality. Where's my equality?
The guy's got all that. He's accumulating all the assets.
What if it's opposite, though? What if the guy's a stay-at-home dad and the woman's working? What are you going to take?
She's paying alimony.
My Windex? All I do is clean.
Why are you worried about that, Byung? Is that going to be you?
Yeah, he's marrying a sugar mama.
Well,
so I was just like, so what exactly is marriage?
Marriage.
You asked someone to marry you, right? What exactly were you asking them to do?
I don't think he was asking. He's like, girl, we've been together this long. It's we might as well move on.
Sign a devil's contract of your soul.
Is that what it is? It's just like, after so long, you just, this relationship is evolving like a Pokemon.
Oh,
press B.
The question is, why did you get married, Josh?
That's part of my questions, yes.
He said he couldn't wait.
Are you trying to reversal? Are you trying to reversal on me?
Yeah.
Pulling
success.
Work, bro. I'm pulling to Josh.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
Learn for
Uno
you.
References.
You said he couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait.
Well, and also part of the reason that I asked is
because he didn't deny.
An observation is that a lot of people get married, maybe myself included, without really understanding the full
depth
ramifications of it, and also exact
ramifications.
Yeah, kids involved. Yeah. He learned his lesson 5 years in. He learned his lesson 5 years in. He has two kids.
I've had a lot of people like that, though.
Interestingly enough, you can have the kids without any marriage. So they're technically separate things.
True, they are. But I feel like a lot of people do. A lot of people don't really think about what marriage is.
Right.
Right.
They just pop the question. Oh, it's a, you know, get the shiny ring, have a big fancy party, have a dress, play the music, walk down the aisle, and then that's
happily ever after.
That's the marriage. Not
the one thing. The one thing I guess the best thing to take away from a marriage are the vows, which, you know, I mean, with all this divorce happening, I mean, these vows seem pretty meaningless, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, to take these vows seriously. So, like, I think if I would choose, it's a lifetime commitment, you know, from both parties.
A mutual commitment.
Mutual, yeah.
Mm. Like an agreement.
Yeah.
Like a contract.
Exactly. That's why I say sign the devil's contract.
This man said contract. You're terrible.
Like a business.
A life contract.
Oh my goodness.
A business partnership.
Lifetime business partnership. Good or bad.
So, I mean,
that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going down that road, I kind of find it odd because I don't feel one way or the other about the following issue, but what about nuptials? Not nuptials. Prenuptials. Prenups.
Yo, I wouldn't say I hate it. I mean, I understand where people are coming from. You know, I try to be open-minded. But at the same time, it's like, I know people say it won't happen, or they will say, oh, it's just an if situation. You know? So, like, at the end of the day, who are you loving more? You know, if you're in a marriage.
My money.
You know? Yeah, pretty much. You're saying, look, I'm keeping myself more important. You know, I'm going to look out for myself, you know, first before I look after you.
What do you mean in that regard?
Like, I guess if you do a prenup, why do you do a prenup? Because you want to protect your assets. You want to protect what you have. Or you want to make sure that it's fair when something happens.
You mean you want to retain the in case of a divorce, you would like to retain the assets that you started with.
Yeah. In case the business closes down.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
ooh.
Liability insurance.
Well, no, like a marriage really is like a business partnership.
We are farmers.
There are shared assets.
Right, Dubai.
And then if it dissolves, you have to come up with a plan to distribute the assets.
Mm.
So actually, what's funny, it's like, what would you think though? Is that if you bring assets into the marriage, should they be split after the marriage is over?
That'd be weird if you had children or dogs.
Yeah, that would be weird. I feel like it gets complicated. People do say they have prenup just in case something does happen, and they want to make it easy as possible for both parties. You know, I see all the reasoning to why people consider doing prenup when they do prenup. But for me, man, it's like, life. I guess it's like, oh, I don't, you don't know what's going to happen with life, so it's just, they're just taking precautions, you know? I mean, I'm not, like, totally against it, but I personally wouldn't be for it.
I would say I'm in support of it, because, you said marriage is a commitment between two people.
Yeah.
Mutual.
That's the, I would say the best.
Keyword, mutual.
The best answer. Mm. Yeah, it's a mutual agreement between two people to
share.
Well, I mean, it's
to experience life together.
Yeah.
And all that entails.
Yeah. Good, bad, sickness and health.
I mean, there are a couple terms. Well, it's like,
when we hit that pothole in life, we both hit it.
You're going to take care of each other, look out for each other's interests, not sleep with other people. That's the,
that's part of the,
don't forget that part. It's pretty important. Some people forget that part. It's not good. So, or some people don't even care about that part. And they still say they consider themselves married. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, man.
Another podcast. Another time. So that's like the relationship aspect of marriage.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry, dude.
Mike is close. You mean to move that back?
No, I keep hitting it. Sorry.
Because he moved it so close to his face.
I forgot I had headphones on.
I was like, ah.
What were you saying?
So that's like a personal, like, relationship marriage. So, like, if there's just two people, the only two people in the world existed, got like Adam and Eve, they could marry each other that way, right? But there's also like,
who are you gonna date?
The zebra down the street?
I know, there's only two people.
Your fur looks shiny, girl.
Is that where we get sent
at least
from?
You know I won't cheat on you.
Oh, wow.
Until we have kids. That's also a podcast topic for that.
Yeah.
So, but there's also like the state of Maryland. Oh, I just identify where we are. Recognizes that you are married to an extent. So like there's a legal marriage, and like you could like not even talk to somebody. Like you could just meet someone the first time ever and then go legally get married to that person and then never talk to them again.
Yeah.
So like there's like a legal, it's almost like establishing a corporation, kind of like, if you're talking about business analogies. Right? I know it is.
Yes.
It really is. Because like if you had a business with someone and that business makes money and then you're later like, oh, I don't want to be in business with you, you're going to split the assets. It's just that's basically what the legal marriage is. It's an agreement of how to like split assets. There's a couple other things, like if someone dies,
resident lawyer in the building,
who gets the money and where does it go? What happens to all the assets? So that basically, there is a sort of like legal agreement when you get married, and the state provides like a default set of agreements. So a prenuptial is if you want anything that's different from the default, that's when you might want a prenuptial agreement. Mm. And it's not necessarily because one person has a bunch of assets and they're trying to like protect it in case the person is.
That's one situation.
That's probably the most common one. I mean, because it's you have to spend money to get a prenuptial agreement, and it's not really worth it unless you got some money to protect, so to speak. So I think it's actually good to think about though, because most people when they get married are not like worst. They're not thinking about worst case of like, you know,
this fails,
something doesn't work out. What's going to happen? Maybe it's. You might think it's damaging to consider that when you're going to a marriage, but to be realistic, like,
yeah, it could. It's happen. Life.
And you're saying like, oh well, whatever I bring, whatever assets I have when I get married, I want to bring that into the marriage, and now that's part of the marriage, right? Legally, that's not the default. The default is like if you have money like in an investment account, right? That money, if you get divorced, that's still yours. It doesn't go into like the marriage. It's not part of a marital asset. I mean, if it increased in value, it increases, but that's it. So if you wanted to say, well, whatever, we're going to put all of our assets together, and if something, you know, something happens and we split, we'll take everything equally, you would actually need a prenuptial agreement for that. I mean, you could just give it to them if you wanted to when you divorce, but if you wanted to enforce that, you would need a prenuptial agreement. Or another example, the state can change the rules that determines how assets are split. So like before, like there used to be fault-based divorce. So like if one partner like cheated on the other, you know, that might impact what happens, because it's like, well, I didn't do anything. It's not my fault.
That wouldn't make sense though.
It's not my fault the relationship ended. But now most states they don't recognize that. So if
they
you
should,
wanted
though. It's like
if you wanted that to be a part of your marriage, you'd have to get a prenuptial agreement.
It's crazy.
Well, it's almost like a nuptial agreement. This is the contract of our marriage. Like this is what happened. These are the rules.
I mean,
you agree with these terms and services?
Terms and services. Check mark here and here and sign.
Both parties have to agree to the contract.
The thing is, I mean, it's not wrong though, is it? I guess depending on what kind of like what your intentions, right? Mm-hmm. If your intentions
that
are,
was the word you were looking
yeah,
for.
If your intentions were, I guess, quote unquote, good, right? I mean, I have no. It's not. Should be fine. I mean, if they want to do it, sure. Why not? You know. But prenup in general is that a bad thing? Should a Christian, is that something that's an option for Christians, right?
It's worth considering though.
Yeah.
Well, here's
Because some people will tell you, no, as a Christian, you shouldn't go into a commitment with that kind of a mindset.
Yeah. But is that Jesus' way of thinking, or is that the culture?
Well, how about this question, which I also raised before to Ronnie. What if you get married, but you don't want the state to recognize it? Is that still a marriage from a Christian aspect?
I think I don't know where it is in the Bible, but didn't Jesus say we should still follow the law of, you know, of where
that
we
was
live.
Paul
or Paul. What Jesus was speaking through Paul, you know what I'm saying? He was, you know,
to not have the government recognize it or the state recognize it, but still get married.
Yeah, I'm not talking about breaking any laws. Just say. Oh,
you have the ceremony in front of everyone. You have the pastor.
We're married now.
Yeah,
and even the church recognizes it. Yeah. Maybe like you tell everyone that you know. Oh well, we committed to each other that, you know, what we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. We're going to work together to help each other and raise a family, and we're husband and wife now.
There are people like that.
So, in your opinion, do they count as married or not? Or does the state of Maryland have to recognize it before it counts?
Well, vice versa too, right?
Sure.
Just that state of, you know, marriage license.
Sure.
But not going through the ceremony and like having the, you know, whatever.
So which one does God count?
Ooh. What did they do back in the day?
I didn't think God was a taxpayer.
Yeah, I think it's just if you guys come to agreement with both parties. And there's people to acknowledge it, then, I mean, that's marriage, right? Whether or not there's a document saying that you guys are married.
People acknowledging it, is that a requirement for the marriage to exist?
We got to know that you're married. I mean, a witness, you know?
I think I agree is important.
Yes.
Is it strictly required, though? Like, if we have an Adam and Eve scenario, can Adam and Eve get married if they're only two people that exist?
Who's officiating?
God.
Ain't he a witness?
And we have a new guest with us. Well, technically new.
Not person. A guest.
I'm not new.
Lakeisha. Lakeisha, what is marriage?
She was here the whole time. She was just asleep.
You guys can finish your conversation. And then
witness. Do you require a witness?
Is that all you need to be married?
Or from a Christian point of view?
Yeah.
It's the only point
of view. Would God recognize that?
No.
Marriage? No, what? You need more?
Duh.
What else do you need?
Well, more than just two people.
He needs love.
So he
needs to be two people of opposite genders. It needs to be two people who are equally yoked with each other.
That's still two people, though. I mean, okay. Two people that are doing it right. Like,
you didn't say that.
Man and woman. Oh, sorry. Not any two people. Just, like, if you have a man and a woman, and they, you know, they make the commitment to each other... The right way. I'm basically asking, like, do you need...
Who defines the right way?
Do you need a pastor there?
Duh. Like,
do you need...
Witnesses.
Do you need a pastor there?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's only two people in the whole world? Can you still get married?
No.
So Adam and Eve were illegitimately producing kids?
I mean, God was speaking to them at that point.
Were they married, though?
Was that a requirement back then? Or was that something that was made along the way? If God made Eve for Adam, what's the point of getting married? Like, the point of getting married for us is to basically, before God say, you know, this is the person I choose to spend my life with, and, you know, I choose to do the right thing. God literally made Eve for Adam. So what's the point of them asking, like, is this okay, God, even though, you know, this is one of my ribs that you took from my body and made for me? I mean, I know Adam was dumb, but come on.
You got plenty of fish out there.
That dumb.
All right.
Adam was dumb.
Yeah. He listened to Eve when God told him not to do something. It's pretty dumb.
Eve started it.
Dang.
She dumb too.
That's a different
thing. But you dumb for listening to somebody who's going against God.
He loved her.
And now we're all dumb.
You dumb for listening to somebody dumb.
Okay. He did it for the
booty.
That's
the official stance.
Well, I know where you stand, Bianca.
What is marriage, Lakeisha?
Like, to
Scam.
Get married or
what is
the
a marriage?
Act of being married?
What is a marriage?
You didn't answer my questions.
Not the act of being married. I mean, that might play into it. But what is the actual marriage itself?
So what is the act of being married?
Sure.
So to me, it's a continuous commitment. Okay. Not only just to be faithful, but to basically encourage the other person and hold them up when they're feeling down, when they're not feeling it. When they're growing, you're committing to grow with them. Hopefully it's for the positive, but yeah, I believe it's a continuous commitment.
Yeah, that's what Byung said. I would say that's pretty much correct. But we talked a little bit about, like, well, what about like a legal marriage? Like, if a state recognizes that commitment, is that also a marriage, or is that
no?
Is that like optional?
What do you mean?
So you could get,
for a Christian, no, it's like, not optional.
Like, let's say,
because you need permission from God.
I go to my wife and I say,
yeah, but he was talking about the state.
We'll get to God in a minute. I talk to you, or I commit to you, and then you commit to me. But let's not, you know, let's not tell the state about it.
Or the courts.
Yeah, let's not tell the court or the state of Maryland. Are we still married?
No.
Really? But we made a commitment to each other. And you just said the commitment is the marriage. But what actually makes you married? Are you saying that the state, you going to the state and signing a paper, is that what actually makes you married? Is that
it's
what the
both.
Marriage is?
You can't have one without the other and it'd be okay. You have to go to the court.
I mean, you can
and have it established by the law and have God's permission.
You could do them separately. Like, I was also saying, like, you could go to some random person that you never met before and then go to the court and get married and then never talk to them again. Is that a marriage? Because legally, that's a marriage. That's a legal marriage, as I would make the distinction. Is that an actual, like, Christian marriage?
No.
Is that a relationship marriage? No, right? Or likewise, you could go to someone and, like, hey, not go to someone, but, like, you've met someone, you spent time with them, you have a relationship with them, and then you both make a mutual commitment to each other, like, hey, you know, I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life, and then they make the same commitment. But
you don't go to the
but
courts.
They're like, I don't want the state or the government to have anything to do with our marriage. So we're just going to consider ourselves married, but we're not going to talk. You know, we're not going to legally do it. We're not going to, like, you know, sign the paper, basically. So you still have the commitment,
but you don't do it before God.
Well, God is another aspect too.
Okay, so you're talking strictly from a secular sense.
Sure, from a secular
commitment,
sense.
Mutual commitment with no courts and no God. Is that still a marriage?
Because there's also the question of, like,
is that the gist of your initial question?
Even if God, like, even if God, like, didn't exist or didn't care, would you still get married?
Say that again.
Like, okay, like, let's say there's no governments, can you still get married? Can marriage exist?
Yes.
Okay. Because you could two people can make the commitment to each other, right?
Well, yeah. And they have to do the... I still think there should be, like, a written contract as well. Because it's not just for
prudence.
The two people. It's for other people, too. Right. So you can tell them, like, hey, I made a commitment with this person.
Use the word contract, too. Nice.
You said it's a business. It's like starting a business.
Because, like, saying it with words, that's all fine and dandy. But what about the people who weren't there? And what about the people who, you know, might not know? You have that written contract or agreement saying, hey, you know, I am married. So
The contract stuff is more about, oh, we're talking about, like, it's a lot of it's like protections about divisions of assets.
We talked about prenup too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cited Christian billionaire Kanye.
So you're saying get a prenup.
That's exactly
Are you
what she's
me?
Saying.
No.
You think prenups are okay?
No.
Never.
No.
So what if I say, hey, you know, I go to my wife and I say, we should make a prenup where it's, if one of us cheats, then we don't get as much assets.
Then you're telling your wife that you don't trust her. Like, you should, you know, be willing to leave whatever and trust God that he will bring you back from whatever. Like, if she took all your stuff, maybe you just got to be homeless for a little while.
If you get a legal marriage, like if you go to the state and tell them you're married, then you automatically get, like, all this legal backing of, you know, if you break up, here's
how
to
ask. Oh, I didn't know
that.
I've never been married before, so.
Mm.
I didn't know how it's that great. Process
look into worked. It. Look into divorce laws. It's wonderful.
It's horrible.
I worry why he's looking into it.
I guess. So is it a sin to do a prenup, though, as a Christian?
I think that's something that should be prayed about and asked about with God.
It's going to depend on the terms of the prenup.
Yeah, I would say no, it's not a sin.
And your motivations,
but
too, for why you're
is it something you should eagerly jump into? I don't think so.
If it's like, oh, I got a lot of money and I want to make sure I don't lose it in this marriage, you know, you're kind of...
You got more problems.
That's some skeptical motives there.
Yeah.
So, but divorce is discussed even in the Bible.
I'm not saying it, divorce is, you know, wrong if the circumstances allow it.
It's a plan of what happens if the divorce happens.
If so, not that you want it to happen, it's just you don't know the outcome of life. So you just say if, so we're going to do this prenup, right?
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like, it's if you're going to a committed relationship and you're like,
with a way out,
if this doesn't work out, let's have an easy plan that will let us get out of it. It's like almost like you're thinking about a bad thing that you shouldn't even be considering, maybe, but. I don't know.
Your intentions. I mean, at the end of the day, is why are you doing it?
Yeah.
For what? As a Christian, motive? We should be hopefully extremely optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Right? So back to your spicy question: is it a marriage, assuming it's just mutual commitment, no courts, no God?
If God doesn't exist, can you get married?
That's a friendship to me.
Or if God doesn't care about, like, if God's like, you guys do whatever you want. Like, could two people still get married?
If he said to do whatever you want.
If that's the law of the state or the place that you live in, then yes, I think you can. If that's what the law is, you know.
I don't think if God's not in it, it should be considered a marriage as a Christian.
What do you mean?
Like, if you don't ask for God's blessing.
If they're two non-believers, can they get married, basically?
They can, but I don't see it as marriage. You can call it whatever you want.
So you would say, like, all atheists or agnostics, they're not really married.
We're about to lose our sponsorship.
In the eyes of God, no.
I am so sorry.
You didn't ask his permission to do that. You just took it upon yourself.
So you're saying all marriages are between three people.
God and...
The man, the woman, and God.
Leave room for Jesus.
You wouldn't count it as a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, six people, sorry.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
No, five people.
Somebody can't count.
I just can't count.
Josh.
I need more Folgers.
Folgers. Brought to you by Folgers.
Oh my goodness, I knew it was coming. So, they can be whatever they want to be, but in the eyes of the Lord, that's not seen as a marriage. Or I wouldn't think he would see it as a marriage because, I mean, I wouldn't think he would see it as him giving his blessing. Like, in the eyes of the land that they're in, if they have those legal documents, then yes. But I was always told that you need God's permission to get married, and you need God to sanction it.
So if they were atheists and got married, but later down the road they both became a believer, does that mean they weren't technically married for that time when they're atheists, but when they believed, became married?
A lot of adultery. Oh,
I think that they should pray on it and ask God for, you know, forgiveness, because they didn't have the knowledge before, and then ask God, you know, is this the person that I'm still, you know, to continue to be with? And
20 years down the road.
I don't think God would say, no, you can't be with that person because you did this down the line and didn't know that it was wrong. I think he would... If everything's good in their relationship and nobody's being unfaithful or anything like that, I think he would say, you know what, you guys work together well as a unit, and it's okay.
I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Me too.
Because it may not be your intention, but it sounds as though you're saying, outside of the Bible, there is no marriage. And I would disagree, because marriage is an old institution that has always occurred prior to the revelation of the Bible. However,
you're saying God didn't invent marriage?
I'm talking about outside of the Bible, because other ancient-ass religions and customs have had something that we can identify as marriage. However, I think the distinctive point here, and you keep coming back to it, is that is it truly a biblical marriage? No. Is it a marriage in the sense of the loosest definition of it? You know, a civil union between two people who are committed to one another. Yes. Does that make it a biblical marriage the way God outlines it and the way the Bible teaches what a marriage is? No.
Part of why it's a problematic conversation is that marriage is technically different things.
Yeah.
So there's legal marriage. Like, that's when you sign on the dotted line in front of a judge.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need for a legal marriage. Like, again, you don't even need to know the person. You can get a legal marriage.
Well, I didn't say that wouldn't necessarily be. That's not a marriage.
Then there is marriage as in, like, the relationship, like, basically the commitment between two people, which is what you both said. If it's a commitment between two people, technically you can get married
with or without
just
God.
Two people.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's where, you know, you better be, like, having God as a witness, basically.
Yeah.
And doing it in a way that God would approve of. So that's, like, it's still a marriage, but it's doing it the right way.
There's layers to this, is what he's saying.
I guess. And like, part of the reason I asked, you didn't hear why I asked also, is, like, a lot of people will get married. Like, you heard how I broke it down, right? A lot of people, like when I got married, I didn't really, like, think about it that thoroughly. And, like,
Byung, it just happened.
You know, Byung asked someone to marry him.
He thinks.
And, like, did he give me that three, you know, like, that breakdown? And, like, it's like, oh, well, you don't need people to witness it, but you should have them witness it. Like, he didn't, like...
He proposed on an iceberg. She had no choice but to say yes.
Like, I think most people, when they get married, I think they don't even consider, like, what exactly they're doing. It's just like, as you know, as we talked about before, like, hopping on the bandwagon. Just because everyone else is doing it. And or they look at the very flashy parts of marriage of, like, oh, well, you have a big wedding. You know, you go through the wedding, and you have to have a preacher there. And you have to sign the paper. And then that is the marriage. But really, as you both pointed out, it's the commitment between two people.
Let's say someone, you know, who's a believer, and they're like, look, God, it's going to marriage this person. And then God's
you better, like, stop me now.
And God's like, no. You know? He's like, well, she's like, no, I'm going to marry. And then they get married. So that's not considered a marriage. You will have your obstacles.
Is this something you struggled with, Byung?
Yes, he does.
No, because I prayed about it. Thank you very much.
He still struggles with it.
Because technically, even God could disapprove from two Christians, right, coming together. Like, God, are we, you know, can we, you know, we're pretty much asking, like, can we marry? And they're both Christians, but what if God says no? And you get married. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, you're disobeying God as Christians on both parties. So is that not considered marriage then?
I would say it's a marriage, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's a God-blessed marriage.
God blessed, okay. Yeah, I like that better than God approved.
Because he will hold you. Mm. He will hold you.
Yeah.
Can I speak?
I'm listening.
He will hold you accountable to the commitment
exactly.
you have entered.
Yeah.
He may not have blessed the original commitment, but he's going to hold you to it. And it's like, yo, I told you not to get into this. But you decided to do it, so now I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yeah, so it's on you.
And I'll be there with you witnessing this whole thing. But just know, I wasn't happy from the start.
So you're saying, like, you could make the promise, like, you could do the commitment with someone.
Mm-hmm.
God may not approve of that, right? But then if
for whatever reasons he has.
If you later break that promise, it's even worse.
Yes.
So if you're going to make a promise, you better keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if God doesn't like the original promise.
Yes. I
mean, assuming it's not, like, you're committing to something sinful, which that's a whole other topic.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
Which we can get into. But.
So what if a believer marries a non-believer and...
That's a recipe for disaster.
And God doesn't bless the commitment.
I could tell you.
I know what the Bible says.
Good luck. That's not what Ronnie said, because I did pray about it. And I was like, look.
Why are you so loud?
Sorry.
All the way down.
But then it came down to, did I get approval or disapproval? No, it was like he's pretty much a good luck. Like, if you go that route, then you go that route. But
number two.
There will be obstacles that you will face. It's I said, it's okay. Like, I was like, you could do it, but you're going to face
other obstacles. I thought it said in the Bible that you're not supposed to do that.
He said he doesn't recommend it. Mm. He said you shouldn't. Like,
for valid reasons.
Yes, for valid reasons. And there are reasons, you know.
So God does not approve of that, probably.
Yeah. He's just saying, because his interest, he wants us, his kids, to have a good life, right? I mean, as a father, you want your kids to live well. And he looks out for our interest, you know. Of course, his interest first, and then, you know, his kids. But if we go into a marriage with a non-believer as a Christian, then there will be consequences that you will face.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, oh, on Sundays, I'm going to church. But then the other person will be like, why can't we hang out? Or, like, you know, I got things. Like, why do you always go to church?
Or think of it this way. You wouldn't recommend that somebody eats ice cream for breakfast, right?
But you can still
do it. But the consequences you'll face is you'll probably have a stomach ache. Or if you're lactose intolerant, you'll really have a stomach ache. You can still do it, but there will be consequences that you will face as a result of your recklessness. But you can't blame God. Like, wow, yeah. Why'd you let this happen to me? No. You made that decision. You knew what was right and, you know, good for you, but you decided to do something that would make it harder.
Yeah.
And yes, I am judging you. If you eat ice cream for breakfast, re-examine your life.
I've done it before. It's quite nice.
You make the munchies.
Yeah. I'm an adult.
But I was at the lowest moment of my life, though.
Oh, that's sad.
I'll marry whoever I want.
Yeah, okay. That's why you got two kids.
That's right.
So I don't think we, like, came up with the yes or no, right? Because at the end of
I don't think it's a hard and fast rule.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you're setting yourself up for some pain.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of pain.
And then the Bible's like, I think it's Paul probably talking about it.
Paul talks about marriage so much. Like, he knew, man.
They kept asking him questions and he kept having to answer it.
That dude's smart, man.
That was if two unbelievers marry and then one later converts. Yeah. They're talking about that case.
Yeah.
It was like, well, if the person doesn't accept it and they want to leave, just like, it's like, let them go.
Let them go, yeah.
If they want a divorce because of your conversion, yeah, basically.
Let them go.
I mean, if someone's going to break up with you just because of your beliefs.
It's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, but then he also had the situation where you have a married believer and a non-believer. Paul still says, don't divorce. You never know. Maybe through your actions, through your faith, you convert the other person.
Right. If they're willing to stay together.
Yeah, if they're, again, that being the biggest condition. You know?
It's reconcilable, basically.
Yeah.
But what if the other person is not willing to change? And what if their habits actually start to, like, change the other person?
That's on you, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why God
said, it's hard and says not to do it.
Yeah.
But then can you divorce them and it'd be
no. Okay? No. You as a believer cannot.
Yeah, you already made a commitment.
Even if they're making your life a living hell.
Yep. That's on you, bro.
Yeah. There's no hard, fast rule saying, yeah, go ahead. But there is, you know, the warning. Hey, you shouldn't have done
not
this.
Not on that point alone.
Yeah.
But if you're in a living hell relationship, there may be other points that warrant it. But, you know, just they don't accept your beliefs. They don't care about God at all. Like that alone is not grounds for separation, I'd say.
Yeah.
Know what you're getting into. So I guess you guys kind of laid out the groundwork for what a marriage is, right? Mutual commitment before God. Do we need to include the state in this?
No.
Thank you for bringing that up. Because I wanted to go back to that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because we asked all these questions, but we didn't come up with, like, yes, no,
yeah. Yeah. Do we need to involve the state in all of this? I would say no.
No.
Do we need to?
No. I would recommend.
Yeah. Strongly recommend.
Yes.
But not having the state does not necessarily mean it is not a marriage. I mean, if you got God and you got mutual commitment between the two people coming together, that's a marriage.
Yeah. Just know that God's, even though it's not officially legal in the state, doesn't mean that you're not accountable for it.
Yeah,
so
because
just know you'll be accountable for
in extreme
your promises.
In extreme scenarios, the state could, you know, say people of this faith or this background or this denomination are not allowed to get married.
Mm.
Does that necessarily mean that it's not valid? Because about 50, 60 years ago, interracial marriage wasn't a thing.
That is true.
You know, you can have believers of different races coming together, but the state of Virginia or all the other southern states can say, that's not a marriage.
Mm.
Does that still make it a marriage or not? I would say God supersedes the laws of man. So in the eyes of God, that's a marriage. But in the eyes of the state of Virginia, probably not.
Mm.
You mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
like if you marry someone that is a non-believer, God wouldn't approve of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the commitment still stands because you made a commitment to that person.
Yeah.
Now, the two people are both guys.
Ooh.
Does the commitment still stand? Got him.
The commitment to the relationship, yes. But would that be something in the eyes of God? No. Because that's a whole lot of red flags there.
Does the commitment still stand?
Between themselves, yes. Between them and God, no. Because that's not even a compatible kind of commitment you can make before God.
Mm.
Reverse.
Technically.
So to answer your question, it would have to be opposite sexes, of course. But, you know, mutual commitment before God.
But no, I'm just saying, but like for the people, the two people that already made
it. It's a marriage. I'm ignoring that. It would be a marriage before the eyes of God. You know, not necessarily
block
in the eyes of the state. So again, when it comes to those tricky things, you just defer back to the higher power. And if you did it before God, you did everything right before God when you enter that commitment, who cares what the state thinks? It would be recommended to have it recognized by the state because that confers benefits, securities, and promises.
Mm-hmm. It's just extra layer of that stamp of the promise
but
commitment.
There is no strict requirement.
Okay, so the other question was, what was it? State,
yes, God, no.
Yeah, that question. Ooh,
we're getting into the heavy stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, it happens, you know.
Yeah.
All this tricky stuff, real life situations.
Like, it's a common thing nowadays. Like, people...
Do live together?
They have a committed relationship. I don't know if they have an explicit commitment, but they're definitely, like, committed to each other.
Mm.
But they're not, like... You know, they didn't go through with like a wedding and a marriage.
There is a coworker of mine that actually doesn't.
For example,
he's like, no, we're not marrying because we're already committed to each other. So like, there's no point of marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like,
had they been living together for more than 7 years?
No.
Okay.
Let's make it personal.
Because if they were, that would be common law.
This guy,
he married.
Yeah, if they present as husband and wife, mm-hmm. and but it's only certain states.
Yeah,
and it's a. A lot of limitations.
Your mileage may vary depending on where you're listening.
So, Byung, you're committed to someone. She's committed to you. Are you guys spiritually married right now?
Dang. But you guys just live together, but...
Well, living together isn't technically part of the marriage or not. Like, that's not part of it. It's just, are you committed?
Are you married?
Are you committed? Are you spiritually considered married?
Are you emotionally married?
Are you married in spirit? I would say. Or, I mean, if you're assuming you're fully committed, which I don't know.
Yeah, like a fully committed, you're like in relationship with one another.
Because, I mean, this brings into like what I brought to Lakeisha before. Like, she was asking, like, well, are you saying getting married or the state of being married? Like, at what point does the marriage begin exactly? Because if it's marriage is a commitment, it's when the commitment begins.
Ooh.
And that may not be when you walk down the aisle. Like, it's not like that just magically happens one day.
If they don't even consider themselves married, then how can... You consider it a marriage
because they're committed to each other.
If the two people in the relationship don't even say that it's a marriage, then
right?
How
so,
can you say it's a marriage?
Right. So they don't recognize the name. They don't recognize that they are in.
I don't like to label things.
They are married and
they're not
nominally. They're not nominally married, but they are effectively married because they are committed to each other. Would that make them married? But yes, as you said, they don't consider themselves married, so to speak.
Because we defined marriage as a commitment of two parties, a long-term commitment, a lifetime commitment.
I think I bring it up because like one of I think there are misconceptions about marriage, and one of the common misconceptions I see a lot is when people think about marriage, they think you have to go through a big formal ceremony, which is the wedding, and then after that ceremony, that's when the wedding begins, that's when the marriage begins, and then now we're married. And then like for a lot of people, that's what marriage is.
Yes.
It's going through this big ceremony, this big ordeal, and then after that, that's what makes you married. So there are a lot of people, though, that they want the committed relationship, which is what we would argue the marriage actually is, but they don't want to go through the formality.
Mm.
And so you see, in effect, there are a lot of people that are living married, but they don't consider themselves married because to them, marriage is you have to go through
formality,
this process. So, but I'm asking, would you consider those people, even if they don't consider themselves married, would you consider them married?
Dang.
No, I think they have some aspects of what a marriage is.
What are they
is.
Lacking?
I think saying that.
Verbalizing it.
Yeah, a commitment. Like, why can't you say that?
Making it explicit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't you say that if that's what it is and that's what you say, what you're saying you have, which a lot of people, I feel like they say, I don't want to do the labels and all that because they don't want to be held accountable.
I would argue it's because if they don't understand what marriage is and that's why they don't verbalize it, would you consider it in that case?
If they don't even understand what marriage is,
right.
No.
Right. If they have a
misconception, you can't understand the concept, then how can you know, you know, or uphold the values of it? That's like someone saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't necessarily want to put a label on it, and I don't go to church or anything. So
I'm just religious.
Yeah. Then right. You're religious then. Like, yeah, you're not a Christian.
No, that's not true. I mean, Jesus was a Christian, right?
No, he was a Jew. was a Jew. Come on.
Like Jesus, like the word Christian may not have existed, you know, probably within like...
Gentile.
It took a couple decades.
It probably took a couple decades. But like, were any of Jesus' followers, were they Christians? They didn't call themselves Christians.
They called themselves followers of the way.
The label Christian didn't exist.
I'm not talking about just the label. They actually did things that went along with the label or, yeah, whatever. I'm talking about saying like, I don't want to do any of the other stuff, but like, I want to do some of it, but not all of it.
Which stuff?
You tell me.
I'm asking you. Which stuff do you have to do to be considered married that people who don't consider themselves married aren't doing?
I think you should make it known and you should verbalize it because not doing share, that.
Have people witness it, basically.
Or at least like make it known. Publicize. Not wanting to do rings and stuff like that. All that stuff is a sign to like let other people know, like, I am in this committed relationship.
Telling other people around you that you are committed, basically.
And if you're going out without those things, then it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's like making a commitment. You're and making it seem keeping like, it a secret.
Yeah, you're making it seem secret, like to other people. Business. Well, I'm single.
It's called a black market.
We have a secret partnership here.
I'm out here and I'm living life, you know, and that's what those people are going to think. Now, if you live your life in that way, and then when people ask you, you know, are you married or whatever, and you say, yes, I am, or I consider myself in a committed relationship, then that's a bit different, and that's a bit towards the steps of being in a marriage. But to, like, not do it makes someone, like, think, like, why not? Like, why not want the label, or why not want to verbalize it, or do the other things if you do consider yourself in this committed relationship? Gotcha.
So you're saying there's individuals, they're not presenting themselves as being in a fully committed relationship, therefore...
Or the one person. Sometimes it's not both parties, it's one person.
Well, yeah, right. Well, either whoever. One of them, they're not presenting themselves as in a fully committed relationship because, you know, they're not saying my wife, my husband, whatever, or whatever the terminology is. Since they're not presenting themselves that way, therefore, they are not really living up to it. Or they're being deceptive, which is kind of weird. Why'd you lie about that?
So you got to be explicit.
Go back to Beyond. What do you think?
What? I was still thinking about the other question that we were asking.
The iceberg question?
No. The state, you know, yes, and then what was the other one? The other...
State, yes, but God, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
God, no what?
Well,
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, God, no.
Not having his blessing.
Yeah.
Is that what
you
it was?
You have the blessing
or
of
God,
the state.
Or God doesn't exist. Can you still get married? Is that the one?
No.
God does exist.
Without God approval or without system. God.
Well, let him know that because you stand some questions.
God sanctioned.
You got sanctioned.
Yeah. Because clearly what you're implying there would be like gay marriage. You know, something that the state can say, yeah, go ahead and do it. But God is like, nah, fam.
Then nah, fam. I stand with God.
We stand Yahweh on this podcast?
Because my opinion...
In case that wasn't clear.
Ultimately, my opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So.
Defer back to God.
Always.
Even if it exists, you make a commitment before you even know about God. then I would argue that marriage exists independently of God.
I agree. It may not be
Christian ordained marriage,
but that's still a marriage.
But it's technically still a. I mean, it's a if marriage is just a commitment, all you need for a mutual commitment, obviously, all you need for a mutual commitment is two people.
Yeah, still a marriage, but it's just.
Now, can you have three people married together?
No,
gosh,
it's just not as good as the biblical stuff.
Correct, but still a marriage.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, do you want super premium chocolate do you want like dollar store chocolate?
Oh no!
You want that super premium stuff? You go to God. You want that dollar store stuff? You do what you've been doing.
That Vegas marriage.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
just take a gamble.
All right, we're rambling on for a while.
See y'all.
Yep.
Bye bye.